things that you need to know. Our brother Glenn Terpstra is coming home from the hospital today to... Can you hear me now? Ah, good. Okay. Our brother Glenn Terpstra is coming home today to enter into home hospice. He has brain cancer as well as COVID. And our brother Scott DeVries also has COVID. And the third thing is, if you are on the prayer chain, this morning I got an email that I sent to Sandy to send to the prayer chain. I'm not going to discuss it from the pulpit. It's very political, but please read it with prayer. Let's stand to sing. Let's stand for the call to worship. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.
Thank you.
And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." Thank you. Please be seated. Reading from Psalm 6. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we thank you and praise you for your word, which reveals to us our own hearts, and it reveals to us your heart. It reveals to us our character, and it reveals to us your character. We thank you that you are merciful and gracious. We ask that you might give us a sense of the depth of our sin, that we may appreciate and comprehend the greatness and magnitude of your love. We ask, Lord, as we meditate upon these things, that you will humble us, knowing that at one day you will exalt us because we are your servants and that we have been faithful. We ask that indeed we will be your faithful servants. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Also from Psalm 6, "Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly." Let us pray. Our God and Father, as we approach your throne of grace this morning, we ask that we would come with thanksgiving and praise in our hearts. Praise and thanks, first, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise and thanks because you are the sovereign Lord and that you are the one who sustains all of life. and that you are the giver of life. We ask that we would, as your servants, fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and that we would remember that your servant Peter climbed out of the boat and took a stroll upon the waves, and then he sank because he took his eyes off of Jesus. So we ask, Father, that we would remember that we need to fix our eyes upon the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And we ask, Lord, that as we fix our eyes upon him, that we will remember that we are his ambassadors and that we are to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we may be, that we are your servants and that we have the particular privilege of serving you as priests and kings and having the opportunity of speaking your word into other people's lives. We ask, Lord, that we would take these privileges and understand the high calling that you have given to us, and that we would be your faithful servants. We ask also, Lord, that you would help us to remember that when Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of man so that he could die, that when he died, the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, was destroyed. So we ask that we would remember these things as we progress in our lives, and that you would draw us to yourself, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son, and that we would reflect his glory. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Do we have any children here today? No? Yes? No? Okay. All right. Let's stand to sing, "I Will Sing of My Redeemer." Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. We're reading from Daniel chapter 10 this morning. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color. And the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I have been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the Son of Man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Lord, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against except Michael, your prince. Once again, Father, we ask that you would open our minds and illuminate by the light of your word, and that you would take captive our hearts by the power of your love. In Christ's name, amen. These last 3 chapters of Daniel are one vision. And I have elected to break it into 2 pieces. And in breaking it into 2 pieces, I'm going to quote not read or comment about some of it because it would take too long, and you can verify some of it if you read 1st and 2nd Maccabees and you care to read some of the Greek history and the intertestamental period. But to let you know that in chapter 11 in particular, the details that are in chapter 11 are so detailed regarding the Greek Empire and what happened between the life of Daniel and the coming of Christ, that people who are opposed to the scriptures say that this could not have been written by Daniel. It had to be written by somebody who looked back at history. That's how detailed it is. My interest this morning is prayer in Daniel chapter 10. And for us to understand something about the person of Daniel and the persons that he dealt with in this matter. The first is Daniel is the petitioner. We've run into him before praying and fasting, and this time he's praying and fasting for 3 weeks. And he loses strength. And in the process of dealing with the supernatural being, he is terrified. And he is the only one who sees the vision. Remember that he apparently was on the Tigris River with a bunch of other men, and all the other people trembled and fled away. That should remind you of Paul on the Damascus Road, that when Paul was confronted by the vision of Christ, he was the only one who saw the vision. The men with him did not see the vision. Here, Daniel is in a similar situation. He has this vision. But Daniel, throughout the process, is also called beloved. This trembling, fasting, mourning individual is called beloved. He's beloved of God because he has a right view of himself and a right view of God. You and I are beloved because we are in the beloved. We need to understand that relationship that we have with God because we are in Christ. If you remember at the baptism of Christ, there is a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him." And then we find later on in the New Testament that we are new creations created in Christ Jesus, which means that we are in him, which means that you and I are beloved. And you need this sense of that yourself. You need to understand that you are beloved. And in that process of understanding that you are beloved, God invites you to come humbly before him to pray. Pour out your heart to him. Daniel poured out his heart, which is why he trembled, which is why he mourned. He understood the problem. In Daniel, in an earlier chapter, remember he confessed the sin of his people and he confessed his own sin. When we go before the Lord, we need to understand that we are beloved, not because of any intrinsic thing in ourselves, but because we are in Christ. And you have a high privilege because you are expected to go before the throne of grace and you are expected to pour out your heart. There's another character that shows up here, and that character's name is Michael. We don't know much about Michael, but we do know, according to Jude verse 9, he's an archangel dependent upon God. We also learn from Revelation that he commands other angels. So there's a there is a hierarchy among the angels. And Michael apparently is one of the highest, if not the highest. That's all we know about Michael, except that he is particularly labeled the Prince of the Jews, that he apparently has a particular interest in the Hebrew nation. God is very interested in his people. And here in this chapter, we find out that God comes to Daniel and to explain to Daniel what's going to happen to the Hebrews. And Michael is one of the servants that is used in this process. If you read the rest of Daniel 11, you'll see that the Hebrews were under great duress. And at one point in time, there is a man, Antiochus Epiphanes, who comes and establishes paganism in the temple and does away with all the sacrifices, and he makes life absolutely miserable for the Hebrews. And God tells Daniel this. And he tells him this for a purpose, and that purpose is that the Hebrew nation, the individuals who were there, God's people, would know that God is absolutely sovereign. And this heinous thing that was happening in Jerusalem under Antiochus Epiphanes was not a surprise, not out of order, but under the sovereign care of God. If you were a Hebrew under Antiochus Epiphanes, you would want to know that. You would need to know that this was something that your God that you worshiped controlled. There's another character here, and that's the messenger. Listen to this description. This description is, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. If you were to read Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, you would see many similarities between the person revealed in Revelation 1 and the person revealed here in Daniel 10. Now, Daniel doesn't tell us that this is a revelation of Christ, but he does say that he is one like the Son of Man. And this person that comes to speak to Daniel may have been a revelation of the second person of the Trinity in the Old Testament. There are a few of these, just as an aside. When you read about the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord is described in the Old Testament is a manifestation of Jesus Christ. And I tell you that because the angel of the Lord receives worship. You can read in Judges, I think it's chapter 13, when Manoah and his wife deal with the angel of the Lord. And speaking of the coming of Samson, the angel of the Lord receives worship. Only God receives worship in the Scriptures. And we are told in the Scriptures that no man has seen God at any time. But Christ has revealed him. We're also told that the Holy Spirit is a spirit. The only person of the Trinity that manifests himself to man in any form is the second person. And so in the Old Testament, occasionally we have these intrusions by God in the person of Christ. God loves to intrude upon the man's work, especially to encourage his people. So this character that we see here in Daniel 10 may be what we call a manifestation of Christ. The big fat word is Christophany. Okay? We need to understand that God is very interested in his people. The other thing that you might observe about this chapter is that there's spiritual warfare going on. That's why Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. Because the messenger was held up for 3 weeks because he was at war with the prince of Persia. As a matter of fact, at the end of the chapter, we find, "Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come." And we have to remember that the image that we saw at the very beginning in Daniel, the head of gold, the chest of silver, the thighs of bronze, and then the legs of iron and clay. We are still in that period of time before that piece of the mountain is cut and crushes this image. And so we have nations ruled by evil princes. It takes the cross of Christ. It takes his cross, burial, and resurrection to destroy the devil. And that image refers to the kingdoms of the world that were ruled by the devil. And I've referred to Hebrews chapter 2, where it says that he took upon himself the form of man so that he could die and destroy him who had the works, who had the power of death. I don't understand all of it. All I know is what the scripture says. So the devil was destroyed. And Jesus, in Matthew, says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." Which implies at some point he didn't have all the authority. Because on the basis of his work at the cross and his burial and resurrection, he is now given, which we saw in Daniel 7 when he ascended into heaven. But now, in Daniel's time, this war, this spiritual warfare is going on. But you and I are involved in spiritual warfare too. Now, there's a difference. And this is the difference. Listen to Ephesians. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, for put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The verb there is to stand. Okay? He's a defeated foe. What we see in Daniel is not a defeated foe yet. The defeat of the devil was because of the work of the cross. And you and I are post-cross. We look back at the cross. We look back at what Jesus Christ accomplished. And yet we still are involved in spiritual warfare. And Paul writes in Ephesians that we're supposed to put on the full armor of God. And the reason we are is we wage war against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. To stand. How do you stand? The New Testament tells us that we are to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Part of understanding the spiritual warfare is that we need to acknowledge that we're in it. There are two kingdoms. the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. There will be one day a new heaven and new earth. There will be one day where the kingdom of this world is completely transformed and becomes the kingdom of Christ. But meanwhile, there are two kingdoms. And you and I are involved in both kingdoms in this life. And there is spiritual warfare. And if you look back at Daniel chapter 10, you'll see that Daniel is strengthened. This messenger who comes with the message strengthens Daniel. Daniel was trembling. He was without strength. He even says he was without breath. And then this messenger comes and calls him beloved and strengthens him. You are beloved. You are without strength. You have no breath except by God's grace. And by God's grace, He will strengthen you. Often I hear people say, I should have said something. I just don't know what to say. You need to believe. You know what God says about speaking? He says, when you go before the magistrate, don't think about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you words. Go to the magistrate. Open your mouth. The Spirit of God will speak through you. It's a matter of faith. You are God's ambassador. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And greater is He that is in you than is in the world. Daniel didn't have what you and I have. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. If you remember in the New Testament, Jesus said of John the Baptist, he was the greatest of those born of woman, but he's the least in the kingdom of God. How does that work? It works easy. John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet. The kingdom of God came with Christ. And you and I are participants in the kingdom of God. So you and I are born of the Spirit. You have the indwelling Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came and he went. As a matter of fact, the king of Saul, the Spirit of God came upon him, then the Spirit of God left him, and then, horrors of horrors, an evil spirit came upon Saul. That can't happen to you. If you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will never leave you nor forsake you. What happened to Saul cannot happen to you. So let's come back to Daniel. He who was not indwelt by the Spirit of God understood something that you and I need to understand. Sin should horrify us. The second thing we need to understand is before God, we need to tremble. We need to understand, as Jesus said, do not fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast body and soul into hell. The third thing that we have in common with Daniel is that, as has been said, you are beloved. You are beloved. So we wage warfare. And you need to understand that the God that we serve is absolutely sovereign. And he cares for you. And he gets involved in the affairs of men. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, in this vision, John sees a person. And that person holds the seven candlesticks of the churches. Seven stars of the churches. And he's among, in the midst of the candlesticks. Who is this person? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in our midst. He's
in our midst. We need to get a hold of this. We need to understand as we gather here every Sunday, or you gather in your home with your fellow believers, or you gather anywhere with fellow believers, Jesus is in your midst. What are we told? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. What do you think of when you're with two or three other believers? What's your conversation? Do you pray together? The most efficacious thing you can do for anybody in the world is to pray. It's easy. I am guilty to say, I'll pray for you. And then you've said the words and you think that's done. No, it's not done. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks. He fasted and he prayed. The New Testament speaks of fasting and prayer. Why fasting? Because we're told in Ephesians, we're told in Colossians that we need to kill, mortify the deeds of the flesh. And the most basic appetite of the body is food. And you need to discipline that body. You need to fast when you pray. Obviously not all the time, but you need to set aside those occasions. When you discipline the body, in the book of Philippians, Paul writes and speaks about people who make their appetite their God. Daniel didn't do that. Remember in chapter 1, it begins, I will not eat of the emperor's food. He made that decision as a young man. And then throughout his life, we see at least two times where he's fasting and praying. He knows what it is to crucify the body. And in that, he is a highly privileged individual. Why? Because God speaks to him. You are highly privileged. God speaks to you. God speaks to you. It's a high privilege that you and I have. God speaks to us, and we are encouraged to go before His throne of grace and to pour out our hearts to Him. I often have reflected upon this privilege because how often I don't take privileges seriously. You know, you take privileges for granted. For granted. I often think about that when I think about people who have lots of money. For some people, $1,000 is to them as a buck is for me. For other people, $10,000 is for them like a dollar is to me. Think about it. How do you regard your prayer life, your meditation upon God's Word? You are rich. You have access to the Creator and Sustainer of life. You have access to the throne of the Redeemer. And you can move mountains. Do you take that for granted? Daniel didn't. Daniel understood the high privilege. And you and I need to understand that high privilege because our privilege is higher than Daniel's. Because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit who gives us the words that we need to say. Who intercedes for us the way we can't intercede for ourselves. have the victorious Christ who also intercedes for us. As you meditate upon this, remember that Daniel came, that Daniel received this vision so that he would be encouraged, because awful days are coming. You have God's word that tells us of awful days that are coming. We're told in the scriptures that the world will hate us. Why? Because it hated our Lord. The New Testament is filled with passages regarding the persecution of the church. The whole book of Revelation is written to encourage God's church. Christ is on his throne in spite of the monsters and the beasts, etc. He's on his throne. All that Daniel understood and all that Daniel responded to is a shadow of all that we have in Christ. The question is, do you believe it? Do you really believe that Christ is all that he claims to be and that you are in him? Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we praise you and thank you for that which you have revealed to us in your word. We thank you and praise you that you are indeed on the throne, and that Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. We would ask, Lord, that we who are your people would understand that as your servants, you equip us, you sustain us, you encourage us. We thank you that we are privileged to serve you. We ask that we would rejoice and be glad that you find pleasure in our service. We understand, Father, that we do not understand at all, because if any of us were in charge, we would not do what you do. We would not depend upon broken people to do what you have called us to do. We would not let a precious, valuable entity like the gospel rest in the hands of people such as ourselves. But you are pleased to do this, and you are glorified in our faithfulness. So we ask as your people that we would be those who would speak, and speak so that the hearer receives grace. That we would speak so that we speak the truth in love. And that we would speak so that we might glorify you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let's stand to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.